everybody, to the Split Six Podcast, the podcast where we talk about, or where we split a six-pack and talk about three different topics, each over the course of one beer. I'm your host, Nick Wigel, and I'm joined by Jordan Lang. Jordan, we're back.
Hey, a little rusty on that intro, but good job.
Hey, it's been like a year, so it's about a practice.
Same here. I'm glad I could be the first one to revive the podcast after a long hiatus.
Yep, we got a new setup going over here in back in Michigan, but in Westland, not Garden City anymore. Not as good as the old one, but we're making do with what we got right now.
Underground radio.
Yep, we're in a basement, guys. First ever Split Six recorded in a basement, if you guys can believe that. This is episode 232, by the way.
That is a fun fact.
Jordan, how you been? What's new? Tell the listeners all about your life right now.
Well, nothing interesting.
Oh, exciting.
I could talk about my cats. I could do that.
Did you get a new one, or do you still have the same ones?
I have two. I'm a full-on cat daddy now.
You know, I wish I was a cat dad rather than a dog dad, because I feel like they're a lot easier.
They are. They are also... objectively cuter.
That, I mean, I don't know about that, but some dogs are super. Stella's a pretty cute girl. We got Stella down here, just hanging out.
Who, this old bitch?
This old bitch down here, 12 and a half. But Jordan, we are starting the podcast back up now, so if anyone wants to come on, let me know. Also, what are we drinking?
We are drinking Founders Mortal Bloom Hazy IPA. Citrusy and tropical notes included.
It is 6.2%. The can is very cute. And let's see what this tastes like.
Get a good crack.
Cheers, brother. Thanks for making me do this.
This is how you know I'm the true number one fan.
Mm-hmm. You're one of the faces on the six pack.
Suck it, Mitchell.
Yeah, we'll see. I have to start doing this again because I did it for so long, and then I just took a year hiatus when I decided to move to Denver for a year and lose all my money.
You know, everyone's got that moment.
Yeah, a random midlife crisis.
Yeah,
and I'm only
a midlife crisis.
I don't plan on living past 66, so
fair. That is very fair.
Number of the devil, if you had one more. But yeah, so what do you think about this beer?
Well, it is definitely a hazy IPA. It's very smooth. I do sense the tropical notes. I normally taste citrusy with IPAs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as advertised, it hits. The can art's really cool. And it's a bloom is a nice symbol for the revival of this podcast.
Now, the real question is, where are we going to put all these cans?
Probably
maybe put them up there.
Put them in a bag and bring them to Meijer.
Well, come on. We framed every one of from the old podcast.
Where group. Are those cans? What did you do with them?
I took them to Meijer. I couldn't leave them there.
I mean, we could just glue them to the wall.
Yeah, I guess. I do have crazy glue right there, actually.
All right. Well, we'll start the glue wall.
The glue wall. Jeff, you okay with that up there?
Daddy doesn't need to know.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't come down here that much, but yeah, neither do I until this. But not a bad setup, I don't think. This table looks decent. I got a record player here.
Beer number one. Sport.
All right, Jordan, you're here for the main show tonight, which is the talk about the NFL draft, unless you want to talk about NBA basketball first.
Fuck basketball.
You don't want to talk about Ant-Man?
We can talk. I honestly, you can catch me up on basketball because I actually am interested a little bit. Haven't been following. But the reason why I wanted to do the podcast is because the very first one I ever did with you was for the draft.
Oh, God, what year was that?
I don't fucking know. I lost all perception of time after I hit 30. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
happened within the decade.
Doing this podcast for 7 or 8 years now, it doesn't sound real, but it is. The time comes for all of us. But yeah, so obviously we're a Detroit podcast, so
the Lions in the first round traded up for Terrion Arnold, cornerback out of Alabama. I guess we should talk about the draft being in Detroit too. Like there's a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, shit. We may have to do a bridge discussions. Detroit had the record-setting attendance
yep.
for the draft, and by all accounts, from everyone I've talked to in person, seen online, it was just a phenomenal experience.
Somebody needs to, not really because he's a millionaire, but Roger Goodell needs some credit for making football what it is, where 275,000 people a day can stand there and watch people say names into a microphone. It's like, as if you listen to this podcast before, you know I go to Bonnaroo and I talk about it a lot, and that caps out at 80,000 for the whole fest. This is 275 people a day, and I'm just looking out into the sea of people.
The first day that was cut off.
Yeah, I was there when it got cut off. People were just like about to mob the Lions, it looked like.
There was like probably another like 50,000 in overflow around the area. And that's not counting anywhere in Corktown, Eastern Market.
Yeah.
I don't know if Greektown was included in any of that math either, but there's all these different areas that aren't accounted for. So like the total for the weekend was 775,000. Yeah. And that's the record. I mean, they broke the day record too, but like easily 1 million people came down to that city.
Yeah.
For that weekend.
Detroit crushed it. The weather cooperated for the most part. And I don't know, football fans are fucking crazy because the people that were standing in the shit, like in the general admission place, like there was one when I went with Dylan once on Friday, and we have the season tickets. So we got like the special preferred viewing area,
mm-hmm.
which is right above it. And there's still a lot of people there, but it was like, you know, Bonnaroo, what stage crowded, not like what the fuck was behind us, which was like shoulder to shoulder people. I don't know how you could use the bathroom. You couldn't get drinks. I just don't know how you can stand there for 8 hours or whatever, however, not, that's dramatic, but however long it is, just watching players get, you don't even know. No one knows these players, really.
That is why I didn't go. I didn't go to the draft, even though I'm 10 minutes away from downtown.
Yeah, that's shame on you, though, because I don't know if we'll get this. Well, I do think we'll get it again. It will just be a while because we did such a good job.
We're going to get it in 2 years.
You think so? Maybe they just make it home, Detroit home in the draft. That would be cool. But they won't do that. But
if Lions win the Super Bowl, who knows? Because I don't think you gave credit to Roger Goodell. I mean, like, credit to him for what he does. And
credit to him for building football,
making
into this
a good, successful business overall. But the credit goes to the people of Detroit and the team of Detroit, the Lions. Yep. The Lions' success is the success of that draft.
Yeah, the fact that the Lions did the best they've ever done in their franchise history last year definitely helped. It was really cool seeing...
In Super Bowl era.
Since football's become this monster of a thing in America, where it's the highest rated TV show of all time every year, you know, everything. Even like lower games. Like just Monday Night Football is like the third highest rated TV show or watched TV show in a year, you know? That's the only thing left in the streaming era that people watch collectively live.
And the roast of Tom Brady.
I watched that last night. That was pretty funny.
I only watched some clips. but yeah, it had some really solid zingers.
Rob Gronkowski's his whole thing was fucking hilarious. I was dying,
dude. I should have watched that when I get home because I've heard about Gronk's like his bit that was good. I mean, I've seen some. There was like some cringe stuff from like
Ben Affleck was terrible.
Ben Affleck and then Bert Kreischer.
Yeah, Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura did like a weird bit about Tom Brady being like a fascist person.
There was a PowerPoint that they brought with them. Yeah. They looked like they were like either nervous or they prepared like in the back room, you know, like right before going on stage.
I think it was the roast of James Franco. It reminds me of when Andy Sandberg did that bit during that roast where he just like is kind of roasting himself and like kind of in character, and like they were trying to go for something like that but didn't really hit like
that. Yeah, I just don't think Bert Kreischer's that funny anymore, or probably ever.
Yeah, I don't know much about stand-up, and I've was talking to Jeff about that last night. It's like, we should go to stand up more. Like, everyone likes it. We just don't, I never do it.
Yeah.
But I would have loved to be at that roast. That was fucking hilarious. And it was like very uncensored.
Yeah. That was definitely like the biggest standout. It's like, here's this, like, completely unpolitically correct, like, live thing with everyone from, like, the Patriots venting about everything that's ever happened with that team. I mean, Belichick was there, Roger Goodell was there, and, like,
Robert
just
Kraft.
Completely, like, unfiltered. Yeah, Robert Kraft. That's who I meant to say.
Okay, yeah.
But, yeah, anyways, we can move on.
Ron Burgundy was there? Come on.
Ron Burgundy.
The character is still going?
I don't know how. I mean, I thought Anchorman 2 was a bit of a... unnecessary. But
I remember liking it, but also I've grown older.
Yeah. Well, anyways, let's keep the topic more sports. All right. On sports. So the draft itself, what are your thoughts on the overall picks, the selections?
Well, the first surprise of the draft was that Atlanta took Michael Penix Jr.
Holy shit.
Like, what, sixth overall pick?
I think it was seventh or eighth. It might have been seventh.
Yeah, they took a quarterback when they just signed Kirk Cousins to a four-year, like, $180 million deal.
Monster deal for Kirk. Like, all guaranteed, too.
It's shocking, and I don't know. I think it's kind of dumb. I get the logic behind it to get your quarterback. You know, Green Bay's done that, and they've always found a quarterback, but...
I've been hearing the comparison with the Green Bay getting Jordan Love a couple years ago, a few years back, and it's not the same.
No,
it's not the same. Aaron Rodgers did not have a contract Kirk Cousins had, and they also got Jordan Love in the bottom 10, not the top 10.
Right, right.
So it's like they didn't waste that much capital on him. And
also Michael Penix was the oldest quarterback in the draft. I mean, it's not that big that of a deal. Too. But
I mean, it really isn't because it's a quarterback, but yeah. It still kind of is a little surprising.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I think about it, the less I like the pick.
The more I think about it, the more of the dumbest draft pick in history it might have been. I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. I can't predict
the
future.
The Lions drafted Hendon Hooker last year, right? But that was in the third round.
That was in the third round, yes.
Yeah, which is like, I mean, if you think Hendon Hooker is good. I mean, we didn't give Goff a contract yet, so who knows? But, I mean, Jared Goff has endeared himself to the city, so he'll get one.
Who's that one quarterback that was on a reality show when he was in high school? I think Rattler.
Oh, Spencer Rattler was on a, I didn't know that.
So that's why that's what the rumor is why his draft stock went so low. So
he was just not good.
So he lost his position at Oklahoma, to Caleb Williams.
When the Lions were bad, within the second overall pick with Aiden Hutchinson year, that before that draft had come in, he was like projected to be the number one pick going into the season, and then he just did not do good.
Yeah. So he got a new coach, new team, and he showed a lot of promise. Mm-hmm. He ended up dropping to the fifth round.
Yeah.
Right? The Falcons could have got him,
right,
and they would have been thought as geniuses. To put faith in someone who has a lot of talent, a lot of potential, just some question marks, right?
They
chose Michael Penix, who is old, injured all the time, and they already have a monster contract with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, it kind of shows that, like, are they, like, not expecting to win now? Because if you get Kirk, you think that your team's going to be competing for – obviously competing for the division and then trying to compete for the NFC, and you just wouldn't another player help you there, you know, like another stud top 10 player.
I mean, that's what the Lions did. I feel like Arnold's going to be like instant impact.
Lions doubled down second round. They drafted Eric Rakestraw. I think that's how you say his name. I think
Ennis
Rakestraw.
It's like Dennis without the D.
They got two cornerbacks, our weakest position as of from last year. And so now it's like looking like our strongest position on the defense side of the ball, with also Carlton Davis added via trade and Amik Robertson from the Raiders.
Yep.
You know,
both look like very strong choices to sign.
Yeah. And so, like, all right, wait, let's cover some people on fucking defense now. What are you going to do? We got DJ Reader coming in up the middle.
DJ Reader, great acquisition.
Yep. Aleem McNeil coming in, playing in a contract year, showed like becoming one of the best defensive tackles in the league. I don't know if we're going to be able to sign him next year because
I think he's a bigger star, or not star, but better player than Aiden.
Aleem?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we still got Aiden off the edge. He's a name. I think star power
James
matters.
James Houston, hopefully healthy the whole year.
Yep.
And then we got the guy from the Vikings.
Marcus Davenport.
Davenport, that's right.
Who was, I think, a first-round pick back
in the day.
He
was, I think, by the Saints. I'm guessing
and
the
we
Saints.
We have Saints connections.
Yeah, that's why I think it was the Saints, because I think Campbell was on the staff when they drafted him.
Mm.
So if you're on the staff, you're the coaching staff, you're involved on the picks and the scouting on that and why they picked him. I mean, that's the reason why Brad Holmes wanted Goff so bad.
Yeah.
He wasn't a consolation prize. He was sought out.
Yeah, and, like, look at that. I mean, it worked. It's hard to say, like, because the trade obviously worked for the Rams. They got a Super Bowl, you know. They got,
yeah,
like, you can't,
and they,
that doesn't matter. I would trade,
and they're
sacrifice
still
everything
good. They're still good.
Yeah. They're just good at drafting. You know, this year was the Rams' first round pick in like 5 years or something, because they kept trading him away.
Yeah.
And
who did they get?
I don't know.
I just know, I know they got Blake Corum from U of M.
Yes, I know that. Kyron Williams' draft stock has dropped in fantasy. For those of you who care, but yeah, I pretty much I don't know anything about college. I don't really watch college football.
Me either. I have to watch YouTube podcasts for people to break it down for me.
Yeah.
It's like, was that good? I don't know.
I just listened to the fucking 97.1 The Ticket like for 4 hours a day. So
that's
what I base my opinions on, and other people's opinions.
Yep. I used to have. NPR is my go-to radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just 97.1.
Yeah,
because it's at least during the season, it's just all Lions talk, and I don't get sick of it because they bring in callers, and they're just either dumb as hell or they start arguments, and it's kind of drama. And I just eat feed off of that. But now baseball started, so now baseball's always on, and that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I don't mind listening. I just like, I realize I'm obsessed with sports, so I don't even watch baseball. I don't even say I like it, but I don't mind listening to people talk about it.
It's literally baseball. It was the original background podcast.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Everyone's grandpa listened to baseball in the background while they worked on their car.
Right, right. And baseball is like the easiest sport to, like, if you're listening to a baseball game, like, over the radio, it's kind of just like watching it because nothing really happens.
Yeah.
You know, you can picture everything very easily.
Yeah. Oh, he throws it.
Yeah, oh,
he swings. He misses.
Oh, fuck, he missed again, guys. Oh, no, home run. Okay, I can picture that exactly.
Home run.
Not like football or basketball where you have to watch like the intricate dribbling or cutting, you know?
Dude, football is the most complicated sport out there, but yet it's the most popular.
Mm.
It's just like football's that sport that you can go back and rewatch the game and get a different take on it. Basketball, you get everything in your first go. Hockey, I feel like you get everything in your first go. If you're really into the sports, you can look at the plays and break that down.
Right.
But football, you really can – you break down the play and you can watch it again and again and again.
Well, football's got the most players at one time, you know. It's
for sure.
11 on 11,
for
not
sure.
5 on 5. Like, or I guess hockey's like 6 on 6 if you count the goalie, but – you know, you don't really need to watch the goalie.
Soccer's up there too with some strategy in there. But soccer, hockey, basketball, these are sports that a superstar can just take over your team.
Yeah, right,
and just make it like, you know.
Football, it's like all right, Patrick Mahomes can take over a team, you know.
You can get, that's as much, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, you're going to have those types that you can give credit to. Mm. But, I mean, they're not doing shit for the defense. I mean,
right,
Chris
right.
Jones. Or Legarius Sneed.
They're not too... They're like, honestly, baseball, a pitcher can take over a game, you know? Like...
That is true.
But who cares? It's baseball. Like,
yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. And also, like, a really good hitter, too.
Right.
You know, causing some chaos with the pitcher. I mean, that outfielder probably won't make too much of a difference, but what the fuck I know. I've only played like backyard baseball from like a CD-ROM from Dairy Queen, and that's really my.
There is something about that that I remember.
Pablo Sanchez.
Yeah. Was he the kid in the wheelchair?
No, that's Dude, that was Kenny Kamaguchi or something.
Yeah, backyard baseball. That was a good game back in the day.
It still is. Dude, you know, who is it? Who's Travis Kelce's brother?
Jason.
Jason. Jason Kelce wants to revive the series.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he wants to fund it and everything. At least backyard football.
Dude, hell yeah. Dude, I like the Kelces.
Jason. Jason is the fucking best. Now that he's retired, I can say that.
Yeah, so Lions shored up their secondary. They also drafted, and they moved up and gave up a lot for this tackle out of British Columbia.
Yeah, very interesting. Very, very
interesting. Who is, like, ideal size, but also has been playing against, like, worse than college people. Like, essentially high schoolers.
Essentially. You watch his tape, the highlights.
It seems like some of
it's literally him pancaking people who are, like, half his size. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, you know, these are people who care, you know, they're at the highest level they can be at their age in Canada.
Right.
Right.
But they probably would lose to a Texas high school football team.
He would make American college football.
Yeah. I mean, he got drafted in the fourth round of the NFL. There's something about him. You know, he's got ideal size. You know, he's just, it's probably just good. And he could be a steal, you know, which would be great because Taylor Decker is getting older and we got some contract decisions coming forward.
Yeah, it's a depth piece. We also got another Canadian, Matthew Betts, from the CFL.
I didn't even know that even. Did we draft him?
We signed him in the offseason. We got him from the CFL.
Gotcha.
So he was defensive player of the year last year, and he's gonna he's a rushing linebacker. So he's gonna pretty much play like James Houston's role. But man, this guy is fast and he's big.
Nice.
He's got a lot of, he reminds me a lot of like the Watts.
Okay. Like, well, that's a good that's a great comparison.
Very, very like, and like he would be the TJ Watt of the Canadian Football League. And we got him pretty much for free, and we're gonna see how he does in OTAs this summer. So we'll hopefully get a nice spot for him. But he's athletic as hell. Mm-hmm. And same with this Giovanni Manu. Yeah. I mean, that dude's a fucking monster. Did you see him?
I mean, I know. I mean, I saw the highlight tape, you know, that's.
Yeah. So the dude is 6'7" or maybe 6'8".
Yeah, no, it's 6'7".
And he is 350 pounds.
Which is just.
He runs a 40 in under 5.
Yeah. Like, he killed at the combine. I know that.
He's got. I saw a comparison stat with Penei Sewell, and he's like edges out Penei and all the athletic stuff.
Yeah.
But all I saw when looking at that was like, God damn, Penei is a fucking beast.
Yeah, dude. What if we because have it was two Penei Sewells?
Like, we could. And we have one of the best offensive line coaches.
Yeah, Hank Fraley.
In the league. We have the best offensive line in the league. Mm-hmm. And then did we just get someone from the Ravens too, who's a vet?
So we lost Jonah Jackson to the Rams in the offseason, who was our
who cares
left guard.
Dan Campbell doesn't care.
We got I forget his name from the Ravens, who was a better pass blocking
Zeitler.
Yeah, Zeitler. No, wait, not Zeitler. That was a Michigan player.
I mean, it could have been.
Yeah, I think it does start with a Z though.
But something.
But he's old, and we signed him for a 1-year deal.
So that's kind of been our strategy though, is like get young talent and old talent. And have them have them teach the young.
Fuck the guys in the middle.
They either get to the middle and
if you're in the middle, you're going to be drafted by Brad Holmes. And Brad Holmes deserves to be given a chance no matter who he drafted this year because he's been on an unbelievable streak.
He drafted
a Pro Bowl wide receiver, the highest paid wide receiver in the league right now, in Amon-Ra St. Brown, in the fifth round in his first year, you know, and drafted Penei Sewell, the highest played tackle.
Laporta,
which is just a crazy find. Gibbs, which everyone was giving him shit for. And now
Branch
Gibbs
could that be was the best more running back in the league. Everyone knew Branch was going to be good. Mm-hmm. But Laporta, the way how he blossomed, no one saw that one. He was the best pick of that draft.
Best tight end best rookie tight end in NFL history, I think. I think only one tight end had more receiving yards than him.
But he has the most receptions, and the records he's breaking are 40, 50 years old. And that was like the era of football where tight ends were the ones catching everything.
Yeah.
And they're the ones getting all the yards because it was just more like more physical type sports. And, you know, wide receivers weren't as fast as they were, or they had Yeah, I don't.
It was before it was you know, an aerial assault every game, you know.
Yeah,
but yeah. So future of the Lions is exciting. The future of the Chicago Bears looks exciting too.
The whole NFC North, but yeah, best the division Bears, by far. The Bears are the biggest turnaround, the highest highest jump for sure. I would say with getting
Caleb Williams and Roman Dunze.
I have a slight feeling Caleb Williams is going to be a bust.
I mean, I hope that, but I have a feeling he's going to be really good. I'm thinking the Lions need to win the Super Bowl this year. Like, because I'm afraid of the Bears. You know, they had a lot of draft stock. You know, fucking Carolina Panthers being the worst team in the league last year really sucked for us in the NFC North.
Yeah.
You know, Packers always they were
it's gonna be good football.
They were like 3 points away from playing in Ford Field against us in the NFC Championship game last year. You know, they barely lost to the 49ers just like we did, but they didn't lose in the way we did. We lost in a very heartbreaking way. But
they also destroyed the Cowboys. They have a young team.
We went 1-1 against them.
Good coaching, maybe not on the defense, but they have a solid
one of the most solid organizations in all of sports, really.
Yeah,
you know,
that is
a perennial thorn on our fucking side for ever since I've been born.
And then the Vikings, they're trying.
And the Vikings,
they're there. They're not bottom.
Stocked up on defense. They still got Justin.
They got some really good picks.
And then we'll see what JJ McCarthy is.
You know, yeah, I think JJ's going to be a phenomenal pick for them.
I hate Michigan football, so I hope he's terrible. And also, I don't like the Vikings because they're in our division. But like, yeah, look at this division. Like, we're going to cannibalize each other, which is going to make it really hard for us to get the one seed, which sucks because we need to get the one seed because I don't think you're winning a playoff game in Ford Field after the one I went to last year. There's just no way.
Yeah.
And we should have won in Candlestick, or I don't even think it's called Candlestick anymore, but, you know.
Wait, what? Which one?
San Francisco.
Oh,
we are Josh Reynolds randomly dropping a pass away from winning, you know, or Brandon Ayuk catching a crazy ball
off the face mask.
Just some fucking random shit.
Or Gibbs fumbling like for the first time in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Just randomly.
Yeah, that was a sad day.
I was there.
Yeah, I know.
With you, at least.
The first half of that game, that was the happiest I've been in my life, probably. You know?
Dude, halftime, we were just looking around at each other. Yeah. It was pretty quiet at halftime. You know,
shout out to my sister-in-law, Anna, for ordering champagne at halftime. I feel like that cursed us.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys for cutting the cake. I told you not to cut the
everyone
cake.
Everyone just having, like, hope simultaneously, that was a bad move.
Yeah. But, you know, we're built to win it this year. Like, I mean, our defense was a thorn in our side last year, right? And it's only gotten massively
not better. Our whole defense. Our run, we were the top three.
Our secondary, I should say.
Our secondary, yeah.
Cam Sutton being our number one, who is like, you know,
well,
throwing people out windows, apparently.
Yeah, which was honestly, hey, that was a blessing.
Yeah.
That's a blessing.
Carlton Davis is really good if he stays healthy too. So like, I mean, if Arian Arnold can come in and be
The other guy? Amik Robinson? Did you watch some of his tape?
Yeah, he's just short, but like,
yeah, he is short, but like, man, that is a Dan Campbell guy.
Yeah.
He's aggressive as hell.
Yeah.
And like, we need something like that. We also got Branch. We got Kirby Joseph, Ife Melifonwu.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like our secondary is like the strongest part of our defense.
We're
now.
Deep. We're deep there now.
So, and our linebacker room's deep too.
You know, you can get it. You can take an injury to a corner and we're going to be fine, you know?
Yeah. Like, and Emmanuel Mosley, we re-signed him.
Yep. And he hasn't even got to play yet. And ACLs, people come back from
you know, he can't break a third ACL.
Yeah. It's not even talked about, Emmanuel Mosley. Like, he'll be back like second quarter of the season.
He was CB1 for San Fran like 2-3 years ago.
But let's talk about what we didn't address in the draft or in free agency so far, and that is the wide receiver position. I was really hoping we were going to get a wide receiver. I wanted us to take he went to the Colts. I forget his name.
Oh, yeah, the guy from
Mitchell.
Texas?
Yeah, Adani Mitchell.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just liked his name, because my brother's name is Mitchell. I don't know. We got Amon-Ra, number one, J-Mo, number two. You know, J-Mo's, like, is all the makings of breaking out this year. So fucking hopefully.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's kind of like, I mean, I guess we're going to see if Donovan Peoples-Jones was traded for anything.
I feel like he could
Khalif Raymond.
Season.
Khalif
has been reliable and consistent. We know what he is. We know he's super fast. He can play whatever you want to plug him into. The fact that we have Ben Johnson again makes me believe Khalif Raymond is going to have a really good season.
But you'd be nice to sign someone, you know? Like, give me – because, like, if it's not a bad if we have it just those. But if one of those gets hurt, we're kind of fucked.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I guess we are a run-first team maybe. I mean, as much as you can be at this stage of the NFL. But – you know, we need some. We need someone back there. If Amon-Ra goes down, like that's pretty debilitating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, J-Mo, I love him. He's my favorite player on the Lions.
I don't feel like Amon-Ra is going to be easy to take down though, because he's played through a lot.
Yeah.
He played through like foot and mouth. He had foot and mouth disease last season.
Isn't that only for babies?
No, you can get it as an adult, too. Babies are the one most likely to get it, and you get it from babies. So I don't know what he's doing around babies. but he had that, and it's like, that's, you're bedridden, typically, with that type of disease. That's like Michael Jordan flu game level,
yeah,
if not worse. And he played through it. I don't know what game it was, though.
Oh, God. Also,
might have been against the Vikings.
We're running out of time here, but how about them new jerseys?
I fucking love them.
Fucking great, dude.
I mean, I was like, oh, I don't know about black. I don't know about black. Can you see
the
black?
With the blue helmet, though?
And then you're like, I'm about the black.
I wasn't about the black until I saw the blue helmet. That made it icing.
Beer number two, entertainment.
All right, I guess we're on to entertainment, Jordan. We didn't really plan to talk about anything besides the draft, so what you got going on over here?
I don't know. I guess I can entertain you. You want me to do a little dance?
Yeah, do a little dance, take your shirt off. You know, let's get crazy.
It's already off, Nick.
We're mortal bloom.
All right, well, I guess it'll have to be the pants now. All right, so let's see. Movies, TV shows, video games, music.
Got them all. We're talking about Bonnaroo. Let's go.
Bonnaroo. That's the one.
Let's
That's
actually one. Talk about the movie Civil War. Did you see it yet?
No. J-Ran from the Bonnaroo crew told me it was mid.
Okay. Well, I thought it was good.
Well, I don't even know what it's about.
When did you see J-Ran?
It's on Snapchat, man.
Oh, just Snapchat. Got you. I was like, are you guys hanging out without me? What the fuck?
No, he just actually moved back recently. We should go disc golfing.
Hell yeah. I still have never done that. I really want to.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, then we definitely have to. Yo, J-Ran, if you are listening, this is a formal invite, our call to action. We have to bring Nick disc golfing.
Let's do it. Civil War was good, though.
Yeah. I don't even know what it's about.
It's about a wartime journalist going through the Civil War that's happening in America, but they don't really say anything about like why it's happening.
Is it modern day?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like Civil War II.
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, if something crazy happens in America right now, you know.
Okay.
But like, it's like you have to get over the fact that you're not going to know anything about like why this is Civil War. It's just literally a story. Jesse Plemons is in it for a scene, and Jesse Plemons just fucking kills it. It is so terrifying. And it's great. That's worth it alone.
That's the weird looking dude who's been in a lot of roles, but he's kind of attractive.
He like came from Breaking Bad. He's married to Kristen Dunst. Or wait.
Oh, Kristen Fat Dunst? Damon.
Maybe, yes.
Yeah, right? Yeah, no.
Kristen Dunst is my
Sorry, he is a good actor, and I shouldn't dis.
No, he's amazing. Like he's
disrespect his name.
He's in Game Night. Played a great role.
Yeah,
in Game Night.
As a cop. And he's also really good in Fargo. Honestly, anything he's ever played is always good, and he's normally in good movies or like productions.
Yeah, no. Like was super impressed. Did you watch Three Body Problem yet?
Yeah. I just finished that up about a week or so ago.
Nice. Well, spoiler alert for people who haven't seen that.
We spoil things on this podcast. It's been out for a while, so.
Right.
And I feel like it was a talk of a town type thing. And there's really not much to spoil, seeing as how just the first season is more of a setup for like things to come.
Yeah, which, I mean, I don't think it's been renewed yet.
Yeah, there wasn't anything that was just like, oh my God, right?
Yeah, no, not really. And which is like, I mean, that's how the first book, because I read all the books. That's how the first book was. I was like, how are they going to do this, really? Because
you said that on repeat ever since they announced the show.
Yeah.
And then I see the show get like the trailer and
you
want
to talk about something that's mid. That show, it's mid. It's not bad. It's mid.
But mid means bad. Mid means bad now.
Ah, well, I'm not a purist with the new slang. But.
I mean, we could talk about Gen Z or even worse, Gen Alpha slang.
So what did you think about Three Body? You didn't read the books, right?
No. So I have a...
It's high concept sci-fi, so it's like...
I like it. I like the concept. It's high concept, like in the way that Rick and Morty is, but it's at least consistent and it's like grounded. And I really like the effort when sci-fis do that.
Yeah.
You can definitely tell whoever wrote this, if they weren't a physicist themselves, they had one that they consulted with. Or
Chicken Lou.
Whoever they are, they did one Chickson, of those things. I don't know. and it's a great way to keep you invested. It's not like, you know, fantasy sci-fi where you just like come up with a bunch of stuff. You don't really have to explain it. You just, you know,
yeah, it's all grounded in physics.
Just have like a suspension of their disbelief. They put a lot of work to make sure that you are going to believe this. And what's made it like really stand out for me as one of these like grounded sci-fis, but yet it's still high concept, was the fact of how outlandish the early stuff was. Like the countdown of them seeing it, the sky winking at them. I mean, all those things were just like, what the fuck am I watching? And then you actually get a logical explanation for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Of like what they're actually in for. Like the whole VR stuff that they were doing. This, yep. And honestly, I did not think much of the show the first three episodes.
Right, yeah.
And then the more the explanation comes in, the better it got, which is typically the reverse when you see a high concept sci-fi. It's really interesting, and then when the explanation comes in, that's when it loses you.
Yeah.
So that's how I'm like weighing it in this the spectrum of like good versus bad sci-fi. Kind of like Lost is really good by asking a bunch of questions, but it gets a little bit worse when they can't answer and deliver.
Or and when
questions.
They try to answer the questions, it's like, ah, well, I kind of wish you just didn't tell me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, just like.
Which is what, that's what the, I've said this on the podcast a thousand times. That's what the show The Leftover did. The Leftovers. It was written by the same guy. But yeah, it was a solid first season, but like, and I think they did it as good as they could from what that book was, you know, trying to stay true to it and changing it a bunch.
Was it like book one, open to close, pretty much start to finish?
They actually got into a little bit of book two. Okay. The wall facer stuff doesn't happen until book two.
Oh yeah, that wall facer stuff was a little interesting. Yeah. I mean, there's plot holes too with like every story possibly, right? I mean, like it's a little silly at times, and it's just this one group of friends and they're saving the world.
Yeah, that's like, there's like one character in the first book and they split him into like a couple different people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like there's,
so
like,
who's the one main character then in the book?
In the book, it was a dude who they made the girl that was seeing the countdown.
Okay.
And, well, I don't know, but he was basically, the guy was seeing the countdown and he was basically that girl, but then he was also a little bit of the...
So were any of those characters like actually in the book?
He was also playing the...
The VR headset too?
So those two girls. But the other girl is also another character from the third book.
Okay.
So they're like doing a little bit of the beginning of each book. Like the main character in the second book is...
Okay, so the ensemble wasn't even in the book.
No, yeah. No, they just had to make it more... Be able to tell this story.
Okay. You know? All right, so that makes more sense because... It does come off as a little bit of young teen or young adult fiction with like, oh, we're a group of best friends. We grew up together. We also turned out to be super geniuses. We all went to Oxford. And
I
one of us has developed nanotechnology that's going to change the entire world.
And like and most of the characters in the books are all like Chinese characters too, you know, because like, it's written from a Chinese perspective. Yeah, I'm like... the main the girl in the beginning that
watch her dad die and yeah, like she what is her was name again? First contact.
I keep forgetting her name.
Zhao?
Not Zhao.
Zhu?
Yi Wenji. She's like the same. But yeah, they're saying I mean there's a if they get renewed, there's like a red wedding thing in like the second book.
Oh, you spoiled it, you bitch.
No, they said there's articles about it. They're like, we just need to get to there, and then we'll get people hooked.
Okay.
So let's hope they get renewed, because I this is one of my favorite book series I've ever read. You should also read the book series. It's really good.
Dude, you know I can't read.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
I just look at shapes.
Jordan's a little Gronkowski over here.
I just look at shapes, and I make my best guess.
I'm not convinced I've learned how to read. I've just memorized a lot of words.
And 90%, not any higher, not any less, but I'm right.
Yeah, so, I mean, go watch Three Body Problem. I'm not sure everyone will like it, but I really want it to keep going.
Yeah, I mean, it was the number, it's going to get renewed, for sure. It was the number one show for like 2-3 weeks on Netflix.
I don't think it was. I think it was for like 2 days.
Just 2 days?
Yeah.
Oh, 2-3 days. Yeah. Hey, I mean, that does a lot for a show. I mean, fucking Velma, the HBO one, got renewed for 2 more seasons.
Isn't that like one of the worst rated shows of all time?
It is. I have a friend watch through it, and he said it's not bad. But I watched the first episode, and like, he's got a podcast too, and he did a review on the first episode, and just listening to how bad what he was describing, I had to go back and verify it. And that's probably why it had the numbers it did, is people like were like, no way is it this bad. And when I watched it, I validated what he said. And then he comes back after watching the whole season saying it wasn't that bad, but yeah. I don't know. Well, anyways, we're getting off topic. Let's talk about the good stuff. Anything else you've been watching?
TV show I've seen a bunch of movies lately. The one that stands out was like, I think it was like late last year, but have you seen the movie Bottoms?
No, what's that about? A gay movie?
It's a gay movie, yeah.
Okay.
But I've been calling it the spiritual successor to Not Another Teen Movie.
Okay.
Which is like my favorite kind of fucking comedy. Like it's just ridiculous and silly, and you don't expect it to be because it's not labeled as one of those movies. I don't know. I've only saw it once and I was really stoned, but it was one of my favorite movie experiences of the year. I saw the movie Poor Things. That was really good.
Oh, yeah. I saw Poor Things.
Yeah, that was – I was like – when I walked out, I was like, yeah, Emma Stone is winning for best actress for this, and she did.
She did, yeah. I was not expecting the level of raunchy.
Yeah, that dude. Movie Emma Stone just getting fucked the whole time.
Like the whole time. But like I mean, this is one of those movies I am very hesitant to recommend because of that. Mm. But it was one of those movies that left you with so many like internal questions. Not questions about like the story, but questions about your own life in a way.
Right.
And like how you view it. And now that's kind of like the power of art, is that that's what it's designed to do. So yeah, I understand why it won the Golden Globe for best drama or comic. I don't even know, best something. Or Emma Stone, you know, you put your body on film that much, you're probably going to win some award somewhere.
And you were just like, she was just great.
You just happened to be an Oscar.
I watched a movie with Sean when I lived in Denver. And I've never seen Sean more impressed by a movie leaving it. And like that's – Sean doesn't like a lot of movies that aren't true crime, you know? And so, like, I was like, that was really good. And he was like, that was the best movie I've seen in a long-ass time. So that was
good.
For
a movie that was that out there and that strange
and like
that
it was
weird.
It's long, too, you know? So it's like – I get annoyed when movies are long. And I saw this movie called Scrambled, which I would recommend to everybody.
I haven't heard of it.
It's really good. It's about a girl. It's really funny. It's like a simple coming of age kind of thing. But it's like a girl like that's our age right now who doesn't have kids and has to decide if she wants to freeze her eggs or not. Or like people are telling her to. And
okay.
It's just like, I don't know. It's just really, I really liked it. It was It was really good.
What it was in theaters?
Yeah, I saw it in theaters.
Oh, okay.
I also saw American Fiction. That was really good too.
That's the one with
the black author that writes.
Yes. I just watched that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
I thought it was. It was good. I heard it. I realized at the end it was based on a book, and I was like, a lot of the choices that they made for how that plot progressed makes sense, because some stuff was a little forced. They got to include this scene, that scene. You can kind of tell that for adaptations. Overall, though,
that's
the
first movie I've ever
seen
in the theaters by myself. I just went. I was like, no one would go with me. I was like, I want to go see this.
Probably an interesting one to go by yourself.
Right. Yeah.
But you probably had a good experience still.
Yeah, it was. I saw that movie. I saw Scrambled, then that movie, American Fiction, and then Poor Things all in a row. I was like, oh my god, I'm on a fucking streak right now.
Yeah. Like, honestly, I kind of like going to the movies by myself. You don't have to worry about meeting up with someone. You just get there, get your seat, you're done, you're in, you're out. I think the first time I did that, it was for Logan.
Logan classic.
Right? I mean, it was good. I just knew I wanted to see it. I didn't want to coordinate. I just bought a ticket and just sat down. I smoked a whole joint to myself before going in. And I sat down like 30 minutes early and just kind of like sat, you know, kind of sobered up a little bit before, like by the time the movie started.
Yeah.
But like, walking out, I was like, that was one of my best movie experiences I've ever had.
Yeah. And Logan was a great
It was. You got, that's the key. You got to go to a good movie. Because if it's a bad movie, you got to talk shit about it to someone.
Right
after. I mean, it's going to – you could find probably a group of someone if it's that bad and be like, hey, I don't know you, but I just want to talk shit about this movie. You guys thought it was crap too, right? Yeah.
Well, even American Fiction, I was like kind of glad because I lived in Denver. Like, I don't know if Sean would have liked it that much or like anyone else, you know. But like, that movie was like – that's like a me movie, you know.
Yeah, it's about like a writer who, you know, has a lot of integrity for his work.
It's like,
and
it deals with a lot of loss, and like
he got a lot of loss early on in that movie, and a lot of it definitely seems like it would be better as a book. So I'm interested to learn how to read so I can read that book.
Yeah, we gotta teach you.
Oh, I ain't learning.
I went to a concert the other day and got my mind blown. Top three concert I've ever been to in my life. And Dave Jeremy just randomly texted me out of the blue on Thursday. It's like, hey, I got an extra ticket to this concert. You want to go? I'm like, all right, who is it? Let's go. And it was Primus, Pussifer, and A Perfect Circle.
Yeah.
Wait,
where was the show?
It was at Pine Knob.
Okay.
Not called DTE anymore. Pine Knob. But for those of you guys that don't know, Pussifer and A Perfect Circle have the same lead singer as Tool, Maynard, and Primus wrote the South Park theme song. But the cool thing about it was they were all on the stage together at once. There's just like couches up there. People were chilling. Like Primus would come play three songs. Then Pussifer would play like three songs. There was like no intermissions. It was just...
What the hell?
It was just fucking awesome. Like, and Primus blew me away because... Les Claypool is their bass player and singer. Fucking, that's the best bass player I've ever seen, ever. It was fucking amazing.
Dude, I should have went to that show.
Yeah.
Was that on a weekday?
It was Thursday.
Okay. That makes sense. Normally, with those weekday shows, fly under the radar. There's a...
But, like, the concept of them all being on stage at once, like, and like kind of mixing...
Yeah, no, I've never heard of that. So they kind of like just took turns just going up and it's like, hey, we'll play this song.
Just a scream
we'll
would be like song. Primus and be like Pussifer, A Perfect Circle. You know, I don't really know.
I mean, if you have the lead singer for two of the bands,
right.
Is one guy.
Like, imagine
it seems like a little bit easier.
It couldn't have been Tool, like, because it could have, like, you take out Primus, put Tool in. Couldn't have been because Tool's too big, you know, but. Apparently on this tour, they had the members of Tool come out for like one song, and they played one song at somewhere at one of their destinations. But yeah, I've never saw that before. It was great, and I only knew one A Perfect Circle song. That's it, and I think I didn't know, but I knew a Primus song. Primus is a weird band. They're like Modest Mouse but heavier.
Yeah, that seems like a great show. I went. The only shows I've gone to recently are like bar bands. Like my girlfriend's brother
He's in kind of a punk band that's kind of ska but not ska.
And didn't I see them once?
Yeah. It was like a basement show.
They
do shows like that all the time.
That was awesome. That was a really fun night.
Their band is always fun. I should have actually hit you up for this. This was over the weekend. So one of the bands that they always like, you know, hit up and like find shows together with.
Yeah.
They're called Disturbio. Also, let me shout out to Murr's band, Brooks' brother, Antimatter. They're very fun band. Now I can shout out another band. Okay. So Disturbio is this this Mexican town band from Detroit, right?
Yeah.
And they play all over Detroit. But I think it's the singer or the drummer from the band. He's got a place out around kind of Corktown-esque area.
Okay.
And he hosts a Cinco de Mayo party every year.
Nice. Were you there?
Yes, and he has like a stage, and it was just
yesterday.
Well, it was okay. It was on Saturday, so it was on the 4th. So it was a May 4th.
May the 4th
be Cinco de Mayo, and they had some live music going all day and tacos and stuff. But yeah, that was a fun day. There was a bunch of bands from like, you know, Pennsylvania. I think. You know, someone Pittsburgh, I guess, at the very least, and then someone else from like West Virginia. You know, they're just traveling bands. They're just looking for a show, and they just find a stage, and it was just like a free thing, and that was a lot of fun. I can't remember the last show I went to before that, though. I always tend to forget my shows.
Yeah, I'm trying to not go to any more. I'm trying to stop doing things because ever since I've moved back here, I've just been not. I forget how popular I was here. You know. People want to do stuff with me all the time. I'm spending so much fucking money. Like, I'm trying to like, let's not do anything until Bonnaroo, because we got some money to spend and some partying to do there. Yeah. You know,
save up.
Who are you? So Jordan is also going to Rue with us.
How much time we got left? Because we should just dedicate the rest of us to talking about the Rue lineup.
Let's fucking do it. We got like, looks like about like 10-15 minutes.
Okay, that should be good.
So who are you most excited to see for Bonnaroo 2024?
Emo Super Jam.
Me too. You're gonna go to all 3 hours with me?
Yeah, probably.
You're gonna skip Cage?
I am gonna skip Cage because Cage is coming with Young the Giant in September.
Oh, okay.
To Pine Knob.
Oh, hell yeah!
So then
I've seen Cage once before. One of the best performances I've
seen. Fuck, damn it!
I mean,
everything's always better at Rue too, or at festivals.
I mean, just we're never gonna see this emo super jam again. And
like, I know, and Dashboard is there.
Yeah, Dashboard's the one curating.
Taking Back Sunday's there. Can you pull up the lineup?
Yeah, actually,
do you have the printouts?
I have to pee, so you guys aren't gonna notice.
All right, 3, 2, 1, pause.
All right, so Bonnaroo 2024 coming to Manchester, Tennessee, Father's Day weekend in June. Jordan, you're going to your second Rue. Are you excited?
I am very excited. I have now placed Rue ahead of Electric Forest as it currently stands.
Yeah, well, Rue somehow is, I mean, it got more expensive this year, but it is cheaper than Electric
Forest. It's half the price. And you get more stuff out of it and a better lineup.
It's just not in our backyard.
You just have to drive 3 times the distance.
Yeah. But yeah, we've got a lot of good acts. We got the headliners of Post Malone, Pretty Lights, Fred Again.
It's going to be huge.
And Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I don't know if I'm excited for Fred Again. I mean, I've seen him at Forest, but it was like a day set. It was like at 3:30.
Uh-huh.
And it was good. It was like a lot of personal stuff. He like had some home videos playing while he was like doing his show and like,
yeah.
I think
it's also weird
cuz
it's the Sunday headliner, so it's the last show of the whole weekend.
Yeah, so I thought that was the strangest thing about all of this.
Yeah. Well, apparently Live Nation offered the Talking Heads like $80 million to play at all their festivals, and they said no. Like, which that would have been the Sunday headliner, which would have been fucking crazy cuz I love the Talking Heads and they haven't played together in a long time with David Byrne. But yeah, who are you most excited to see? We did say Emo Super Jam.
Emo Super Jam is definitely a big one. Let's see. I guess the Chili's definitely has to be on there. I'm very excited to see them in the festival setting. I went to go see them at Comerica.
I've never seen them
a couple years ago, and they are performers. They definitely still have it. I've never seen them prior to that.
They are rock gods. I saw Post Malone my first year at Rue, and obviously I fell in love with Post Malone and got a tattoo of his. So I'm obviously excited for Posty.
Pretty Lights might be pretty legit.
Might be pretty lit.
Because Thursday's this is the EDM day. Because you got Disco Lines in here, you got Guar.
Guar's not EDM.
I guess you're right.
Guar's metal. Guar's the weirdest band that's gonna be there. Do you know about Guar?
Maybe I don't. I'm thinking of someone else then.
Guar's the band that dresses up like D&D characters and they sprayed fake blood onto the crowd.
Oh my god.
They're a wild one. But Fisher's also there on Thursday, I think, which is a pretty big EDM name.
Okay. Michigander.
Michigander.
I don't think they're EDM, though.
No, Michigander is indie rock.
Yeah.
But my dad is friends with the mother of the guitar player in that band, and she messaged me on Facebook the other day, so I'm going to hit her up and try to meet the band. Because that's the first show that I'm going to go into.
Group Love is going to be there.
Group Love is there.
Let's see. They're not overlapped with anyone. I might have to go see them.
I feel like they conflict with somebody for me.
It's Faye Webster, Jessica Audifred, and Gary Clark Jr. Oh, and Dominic Fike.
Dominic Fike. That's who it is. I like Dominic Fike. Dominic Fike is the guy from Euphoria. He's in Euphoria. There's a couple songs.
Oh, the guy who sings.
I think so.
The bi dude with the face tattoos.
I believe that's... I've never seen Euphoria, but...
Oh, you haven't?
No, but when I worked in the restaurant in Denver, Dominic Fike came in, and one of the hosts there knew him, or knew who he was, and he hooked her up with, tickets to the show that he was playing. She's like, I like that shit.
So are you going to go see T-Pain or Thundercat?
Neither.
Neither?
Nope, that's one of my biggest conflicts, because I'm going to the Mars Volta.
Oh, I've never heard of the Mars Volta. Is that going to be, better than Thundercat?
I mean, for me, they're, more of a... I feel like they're, classic emo music a little bit, more, harder rock, though. I'm sure there's, one... You probably heard the song The Widow before.
I can't say that I have, but, probably. I'm terrible with
And you don't remember the band At the Drive-In?
No.
And the song, Get Away, Get Away, Send Transmission to the One Arm Scissor. You don't remember that?
No, that was very Tenacious D, though.
Well, I think it's a singer from them. I'm pretty sure they sound the same, but I don't know. I've been listening to a Bonnaroo playlist, and they're definitely one of my favorites there.
Yeah, Interpol was definitely one of my big bands in high school that I listened to a lot.
I'm going to see Interpol, I think. I think they conflict with somebody too, though.
Joe Russo, ISXO, Maggie Rogers.
It's Maggie Rogers. That's the big one they conflict with, but I think I'm going to be at Interpol.
And then, Dominic Fike is... Oh, wait, never mind. I thought he was on 2 days.
The only one that's on 2 days?
Yeah, he's on a What Stage. That's going to be a big show. But it's also during the day. Sunset set.
I think I could try to get Pitt for that. But I got to see who they're coming or who's right before them. And there's a lot of people. People have been kind of shitting on the lineup a little bit when it first came out. But once you dig into the undercard of it, it's a really, really good undercard.
I thought this lineup just on the surface level was good.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that Chili's, Post Malone is here, Cage the Elephant, the fact that they're doing
to miss Cage, but
it's worth the price of admission alone.
Yeah.
Just for those four bands.
Yeah. I would pay to go to Bonnaroo without even being allowed to go into Center Roo. I'd just go hang out anywhere else.
It's just a 24/7 nonstop. Well, maybe not 24/5 nonstop party. And it's fucking dirt cheap. I mean,
yeah,
with the camping pass, the full weekend pass, what is it, $600 with tax and all fees included.
Yeah, even like a little bit less than that, because the ticket was like around four or something, and then the, I mean, if you're obviously you're splitting a camping pass with somebody, you know, because you know Brooke and Megan aren't even getting one because they're just coming in like every day, right?
Oh yeah, I'm splitting the camping pass with Jeff, and then I'm also paying for Airbnb too, so I'm getting both best of both worlds.
Yeah, well, you get to go and take like a normal shower.
I do, and that's kind of why I'm willing to pay it.
But not for the, because they don't get there till Thursday, right?
They don't get there till Thursday, so I'm all yours. And
Tuesday and Wednesday. Well, I guess
From Sunday,
we got our Sunday and Monday Nashville excursion.
I just really was jealous that you guys had like a whole week of all this, and I've never been able to do that for a festival. It's always been like a work and then do it all. I just want to take the whole week off.
Because
I get a lot of like PTO accrued through work, and I just never use it.
Yeah, and this is like, you know, I mean, this is something I look forward to every year, every day of every year. You know, like I can't fucking wait. And yeah, I mean, I don't, Tuesday and Wednesday, you know, there's some secret stuff you can do. You know, there's gonna be some secret parties going on. I'm kind of in the Bonnaroo community now, so I know about them and where they're gonna be.
I want to get like the full experience. That's the real like reason why I want to get there with you guys, getting there like at 6 a.m. or whatever, just so you get a good spot, setting up camp. I want to be involved. I want to be part of that community. I want to help out. I want to experience it.
Yeah, we're gonna need your tent. You said you got an 8-person tent, right?
No, it's a 12-person tent.
Like, how big is that?
Okay, so 12-person, 6-person, whatever person tent, they're just counting how many bodies can lay like horizontally into the tent.
Okay,
right. So typically, a 6-person tent is a nice spacious tent for 2 people.
Right,
right. Once you get 10-person, then it, like, you know, you can have 4 people in there. It actually might be a 10-person tent. I got it at Costco last year, and
well, I think we're just gonna have
it's pretty decent.
4 people in there, and then 3 once you start going back to the Airbnb.
Yeah, we'll figure that stuff out. I got a lot of stuff. I want to like make some meal prep food, so we have some like good food at camp.
Yeah,
like,
I want
like some cold food.
I want to do that this make year too, rather than spending so much more money buying food every day.
Oh yeah, my goal is also with the late additions, we can utilize them because they're going to go to a grocery store too.
Yeah,
we can have them bring some food that maybe we can, I don't know if we have grills, but I'll bring like
Joe has everything. He didn't want to use it last year, but I don't think he'd be opposed to bringing it. You know?
Yeah, I got some tabletop stuff that maybe I can whip up something not for like 20. Oh damn, we're
beer number 3.
That's how you get me.
I mean, who
only
gives
on
a shit?
Saturday.
We can still keep going through it. Who cares? No one wants to hear us talk about politics. Everyone's over it.
All right. Okay. let's just do a little bit. Finish up Saturday here. So looking at Saturday, I think this is the
Saturday. I got to start my day by doing the Roo Run.
Oh, you're doing the 5K. Do you have to sign up for that?
Yeah, it's like $25.
You have to pay to run.
But you get a cool tank top.
Oh, that's kind of worth it.
That's really why I'm doing it. Like,
is it too late to sign up? Is it, where do you run? Is it an Outer Roo?
I don't know. It's in Outer Roo. I've never done it, so I just like, you know, this is my senior year of Bonnaroo. So I feel like there's a couple things I haven't done. I've never went to the beer exchange. I want to do that. You familiar with that?
I assume people bring beer and they exchange it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's hosted by Camp Redaroo, which is
Wait, do they record a podcast while doing so?
They might. I don't know.
I think that's a good opportunity to just like
bring out
your phone and just like record you and someone else just splitting.
Yeah, maybe
beer.
I should just start
just
a Bonnaroo podcast.
Just do a 5-minute soundbite for like every like, or well, maybe 10 minutes, because 5 minutes is a bit of a chug fest.
But yeah, that, and I don't know. I've seen mostly everything on the farm except for that and the Roo Run, I think.
Yeah, and honestly, like, Saturday doesn't have much during the day going on.
Let me see.
I mean, the Main?
The Main's a classic, like, emo-sounding band.
They're going to be there for the Super Jam.
Josiah and the Bonnevilles, I've been hearing them a little bit, and they've been pretty cool. Ethel Kane people, like, the Teskey Brothers, like, Bluegrass, and they sound pretty cool. Brittany Howard. Keep forgetting that Brittany Howard's here. I got to go see Brittany Howard, you know, the Alabama Shakes singer.
I did not realize that. So I don't follow people by singers, just band names.
Uh-huh.
But I love the Alabama Shakes.
Yeah, me too. And yeah, she is essentially the Alabama Shakes, right? You know? Then, you know, I got to keep planning in time. So when am I going to go back to camp? Because am I going to go see Sean Paul? Like, I keep forgetting Sean Paul's there too, you know? You know Sean Paul, right?
Yeah, I know who Sean Paul is. I'm just trying to place a song.
I'm on the waiting calm, girl. I'm going to be keeping you warm. I got the right temperature for shelter you from the storm.
Okay, okay. Yep. Yep, that's high school.
And then it sucks that Cage and White Fang, who is Alice in Wonderland, the DJ that, like, my roommate Laura, she, like, that's her favorite person. White Fang's her, like, alter ego. Sucks that I have to miss that, too, because I am literally going to be at the Emo Super Jam for all 3 hours of that. Because emo music's like my music.
That's, yeah, that's the one that's splitting up me and my girlfriend for the shows, because she's definitely going to go to Cage. And
I think
I'm very
will.
Torn, but the fact that Cage is going to be around, and this is a once in a lifetime type of
thing. We're never going to see this again.
I've never seen Dashboard, never seen Taking Back Sunday, I've never seen The Main. All of them jamming out for 3 hours is going to be my life.
That's the thing I'm looking forward to most. But then after that, you know, we got the Chili's.
Yep. Then, so like this whole day, like after 5 o'clock, is just going to be epic.
Yeah, I know. I think I might go back at the end of the Chili Peppers. I'm not like super into the Chili Peppers, but I've got to see them for a little bit.
Mm.
But I really want to, because Idols. Have you heard of Idols?
Paper Idols?
No, just Idols. I don't know this little line. I don't know if you're into Parcels or Diplo or Melanie Martinez.
I've seen Diplo.
Also, what is up with Diplo? Didn't he do something weird?
He's EDM, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he probably just... what's it called?
Like, how was he not...
When you pre-order girls before they're of age.
Oh, yeah. A classic brand new. Classic Jesse Lacey. As I have Jesse Lacey's album displayed right here. But but he's also marrying people at the House of Matrimony. And then we have...
That makes up for it, right?
And then we have the Pretty Light Sunrise set at the end of this, too, which I'm going to try to be at.
Yeah, so this would be Saturday. I'll probably be going back to the Airbnb because our place is a 35-minute drive away.
Damn, that sucks.
We got like people rotating as drivers, so don't have to drive.
Maybe try not to be the driver this night, because this is your big night.
No,
right?
I'm not driving any of the nights back.
Then we move over to Sunday, and the first thing that I see that... Green Stripe Bluegrass is this day. I meant Green Stripe Bluegrass. They're on this day. But the Beaches, you know the Beaches?
Nope.
But this is one. Do you know who Chapel Roan is?
Nope.
She's getting extremely big, and she's like a lesbian icon right now.
Are you still on Saturday?
No, now I'm on Sunday.
Sunday. Okay, we moved on. All right. All right, this tent? Oh, okay. That might be, if she's getting big. I've been to shows where someone isn't as big when they're booked, and then they get big.
That's what this is. This is going to be like Noah Kahan last year.
Dude, I went to Lollapalooza last year, and Noah Kahan like absolutely ruined half of that festival because he had a bigger presence at his tiny ass little stage than they did at the biggest stage of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it completely bottlenecked the entire festival for like an hour and a half.
Is it Milky Chance at the big stage for this during Chapel Roan?
Wait, Milky Chance is here?
Yeah, I think he's on the what stage?
I
think during Chapel.
Yep, just a little bit of overlap, but like he ends at 4:30, and Chapel starts at 4:00.
Okay. Yeah, so not that much of an... So people are just going to be at Chapel.
Yeah. I like Milky Chance. I'll probably go see them. And then... Ooh, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah, I just got to be there for...
5:15, that's right after Chapel.
Yeah, there's going to be a big... That's going to be the bottleneck.
Yeah, this tent and What Stage are kind of a bit of a walk from each other, though.
Yeah, that's like the farthest... I think.
I think that 10 might be the furthest.
That 10's the one that's closest to which and what?
God damn, I hate these names.
Yeah.
They're so bad, but like it's kind of fun.
It is fun. You just have to do it for a couple times to like remember. It's just this and that are the hard ones to get.
Yeah. So those who are listening, those lucky few, the names of the stage are what stage, which stage, the other stage, this tent, and that tent. And I'm not making this shit up. Yep. That is the names of the stages.
What stage is the biggest one, the best stage in the world that I've ever seen?
And this is clearly designed so you're drunk on the phone trying to communicate with your friends to make it as hard as possible.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I think they purposely schedule conflicts. Like Cage the Elephant, Emo Super Jam, that's on purpose.
Just so it doesn't like overflow.
Yeah,
because right?
The people that would go to both are gonna be torn, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you like Cage the Elephant, you probably like emo music. Not that Cage is emo, but like they have that sensation.
Yeah, and they have a good space like amount of distance between them too. Mm. One thing I do have a criticism about Rue is that their stages are a little too close to each other.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, spacing limitations. It's not like they can do anything better than what they have. They just have that plot.
Right.
At Forest, it's kind of a double-edged sword a bit. Like, at Forest, like, everything's super spaced out.
Yeah.
But you're walking 10 miles a day. Like, right. Just, like, get all your shows in. You don't hear anything, and there's literally, like, a forest in between, like, some of these stages.
Yeah.
But
Bonnaroo is just a fucking...
Bonnaroo, you get a little bit of overlap, which, you know, if you're close enough to the stage, doesn't really bother you. But if you're far enough and you hear another show and you're hearing it almost as well as the show in front of you, it can get a little jarring, especially depending on what drugs you're on.
Did you have a favorite show from last year?
I have kind of a unique favorite show from that one. I think Wolfpick was my standout, but...
Yeah.
It's hard. That was the one I wasn't expecting to be as good. I love Wolfpack.
Yeah.
And that's probably the only time I'm ever going to see them live because they only do festivals.
Who's that guitar player?
I don't know.
Corey Wong? That's Corey Wong.
Corey Wong showed up.
He's in Wolfpack.
No, he's not in Wolfpack. He's in a couple songs.
Oh, okay.
But he was there at Rue. And then he also performed on stage with them.
He came out and played with Sammy Ray and the Friends when I saw them.
They married someone on stage. That was just like, that was an event. That was like a really good one.
Which stage was Wolfpack at? Because I think that was at the same time.
It was like a 1 a.m. show.
Yeah, because I went to my favorite show of that weekend because you guys all went there and I went by myself to the show that ended up being my favorite, Sylvan Esso, which was at that tent. So gotcha. I don't know where Wolfpack was playing.
I think it was at which stage?
Okay, the second biggest stage.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a pretty big one.
Because you guys were all together, I think, for that, right? Like,
I
know Sophia wouldn't have missed that.
She was probably there. We didn't go with her.
Okay.
You know, last year I didn't camp at all, and I just did the hotel,
right.
And so we just kind of like, it was, I think it was me, Brooke, and our friend Vinny. Who went to go see that one, but
I think we can get Vince to go again
this late. Probably. And
this is when he, this is about when he agreed to go last year.
Yeah, we did somehow convince him. You convinced him.
I don't know how I did that.
Yeah, I don't know how you did that either, but you got him to go. Tickets are still on sale too.
Last year it sold out, so
he can easily take my spot in this tent, and you're gonna crash at his place. It's literally like a perfect opportunity for him,
right?
And I'm sure he's got some, like, you know, he would be,
he's probably got some time
six
off,
6 months at least, right? A little bit more over 6 months from his,
you
like,
should be able to take a weekend
job.
Off he doesn't have to, he can just drive down. Well, I mean, I guess he can drive down and park at your Airbnb and just come in there, and then we can just take him there.
Yeah. If there's room in our car, we'll figure something out.
No, I'm saying he drives down himself on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
And then parks at your Airbnb and just rides in with them and then just stays there and then until the end of the festival.
Yeah. And then just rides in for one day and just stays at the camp and takes my spot at the tent.
Yeah, it'd be perfect.
We got a plan for you, Vinny.
Vinny, if you listen to this podcast randomly,
golden opportunity for you.
Come on, make it year two for you.
Yeah, 2 years in a row, bud.
Yeah, hey, if you have a great time this year, and you're going to experience the whole thing this year, you know, you could turn into a lifer. I hope you do, because I already am, you know. I think I'm going to get a graduation cap, like a white one, and have people sign it and wear it for Fred again. And once he's done, just throw it up into the air.
So do you? So after you graduate, then what do you do? Do you just start over?
I go to college.
You go to college. Okay, all right. So after you do college, then you got to do your graduate.
I got to get my master's.
Right? Yeah. And then what doctorates?
And hopefully I'm working for the festival at that point. I don't know. People that have been there for that many years, you know, it's crazy, you know, like being there for like 12 years in a row that people have been going for that long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I just know I'm a part of the community now. Like my Twitter handle is literally the devil of Bonnaroo. It's
honestly, it's really hard. I don't know enough festivals. I haven't been to very many.
I'm monogamous when it comes to festivals.
You've only been to one.
Exactly.
So
unless Summerfest in Milwaukee counts, where I did see Cage the Elephant.
You married your high school sweetheart.
Exactly.
but like, man, Rue is really up there in terms of affordability, quality, and just like the overall experience.
There. I don't know if you met a lot of strangers there, but like everyone.
I think that's every festival, at least camping ones. Mm. I went to Lala City Festival and it's so different.
Yeah.
And I have a very like good like measure mark for it, because I went to Bonnaroo that same year.
Yeah.
And Odessa was at Rue.
Yeah.
And then I see Odessa a month later doing like the same songs
in Chicago.
In Chicago at Lollapalooza. And I can tell you, it was not just like, you know, twice as good. It was about like 10, 20 times better seeing it at Rue.
Oh, okay. I was going to say it was at Lala. It was better, but okay,
no. At Lala, even like their pyros, their fireworks, yeah. And even like the singer, they were dressed. It was far more tame. Like, dude, that black lady who was out for the one song, or she was out for a few songs, but she pretty much came out like fucking topless at Rue.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And then she pretty much came out with like, I wouldn't say like a sweater, but like essentially might as well have been a sweater.
Yeah, yeah.
That she came out at Lala. It was like, oh, okay, this is like the PG-13 version.
Right. I mean, everyone at Rue is like, there's like a lot of people not really wearing clothes.
Right. Yeah. Which is it's a lot more free, a lot less restrictions. And there's probably the same amount of people, but holy hell, going to Odessa for the closer at Lala, it was fun, but my God, it was fucking chaos.
Yeah.
It was so much more chaos. And you don't have a tent that you can recuperate at. You get food, refuel.
Yeah, you just have to immediately leave.
You just have to leave, and then you have to deal with the masses of people going in the subway. And there were some experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why Rue's, I mean, it's hard. I can't really say, because I haven't been to anything else. You know, like,
yeah.
I've been to Summerfest in Milwaukee with Kruk when we were like 20 years old. And that was not at all like Bonnaroo, you know? The NFL draft is the closest thing I've been to that's like Bonnaroo.
Man, I should have gone to the draft.
You should have gone to the draft.
I didn't want to take off work, and I was happy on my couch watching it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was just, it was like a cool experience. But
yeah, I saw a lot of videos, and it gave me a little FOMO, but I was happy that for my city.
I mean, the first night,
I was really happy for it.
Yeah, Detroit just fucking killed it, and it's nice having a really good football team right now. That helps, but you know,
yeah. I've been only watching football for like 2 years. I jumped on a good time.
Rue, Jordan, for what I would tell you, the sets that you should come to with me, if you don't have any conflicts, you should definitely try to come to Guar with me.
Yeah,
you can. I'll let you wear some devil stuff. We can get some blood sprayed on us.
Okay, I was gonna.
We all should go to Michigander.
I was gonna
get a
Hail Satan shirt.
Hell yeah, Michigander. We should go to, because we're from Michigan.
That's a must. Yeah, Brooke definitely likes Michigander. She listens to them.
Well, I mean, who are you going to between T-Pain, Thundercat, and I mean Sudden Death? I actually kind of really liked when I hear the.
So
the
I'm not really sure on that one,
but I'm gonna be at Post until Mars probably.
I don't know Thundercat or that well, but everything I've heard from Thundercat, super fun. He's super into anime, and you know, like he's got a good presence. Yeah. T-Pain is also like, you know, that the probably the biggest name in terms of like the draw he has, and so that might be cool to go to.
That's why I kind of like this conflict, because I think I can get pretty close at the Mars Volta because of T-Pain and Thundercat playing at the same time. You know,
you'll have to send me some Mars Volta songs.
Yeah, I'll send you the. I'll show you before you leave. I'll show you the Widow, and see if you even know it.
Yeah, because I got a Rue playlist as well, but you know, there's obviously some gaps.
Yeah.
Did you
look at the Who stage lineup and see if you knew anyone? It just came out.
What do you mean?
There's that small stage called the Who stage where like up and comers play. I didn't recognize anybody on it, but it's like smaller bands.
Oh, I didn't look at it. Is it not on the sheet?
It's not on these sheets, no. Because they don't have a timetable. They just have who's playing. They don't have what days or they don't have what time.
Is it in Center Roo still?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think it's like if you're looking at this tent, it's going to be to the left. Like, were you at the Super Jam last year?
I was not.
Well, that's this tent. So I don't know how to explain what this tent is in that tent is if you don't really know, you know?
Well, the Super Jam was at like one of the this or that tents, what, right?
Because you're kind of into EDM, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say
so
a little
what
bit.
Are these EDMs do I need to go see?
Let me see. Hand me that.
Because EDM's like music that I really like when I'm there, but I'm not like listening to it really.
Well, it's typically like, or it's pretty much Thursday and Friday are the EDM
every
shows.
Day, because the other stage, whatever's on the other stage, is EDM. And also, we got Fred again as the end headliner.
The
Kiwi
Disco Lines is a good one to like listen to, like because I'm not big into EDM.
Okay,
but when I hear like a song that's like I find catchy, I like listening to a lot. I mean, like, my top EDM artist is Grizz.
Yeah, I've seen Grizz way, like, more times than I've seen most bands.
Grizz is so fucking good every single time.
I saw him twice last year.
And
I didn't even, and I did not see him at Bonnaroo.
You didn't see him for the Sunset set last year?
No, I missed it. I don't remember what I was doing.
That was probably the best I've ever seen him.
Yeah, I saw some videos of, or like, yeah, some videos.
I've seen Grizz maybe,
he was playing some Rainbow Kid and Surprise, he took that spot too, you know?
He did. So he had two shows. His DJ set it is never that great to me.
Uh-huh.
I always like his he used to do Grizzmas.
Mm-hmm.
And he had two nights of it, so he would do like a full live band set, which was so fucking good. And then he did pretty much the next day, like by himself, the same songs. But it's just like, okay. Like, it's just like, you're more of a generic artist when you're by yourself. But when you have your full band and it's all his friends too, that he like, you know, knew in like Michigan.
Right.
And so like, it was just like, it's just better. It's just better when you have more live music going on.
I agree.
And like, he's got a good variety. And that Sunset set last year, like, perfect. He had some little bit of Backstreet Boy, like, remix that he just made up, like, the week before.
Yeah.
And then he had the Rainbow Kids surprise song that he did. But honestly, I'm not sure if I would have preferred that one over Rainbow Kitten. But, man, that was just, like, such a great show.
And that was at the what stage? The big stage, right?
That was the big stage, yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck was I doing? I don't remember.
I don't know.
I just, you know.
But you're looking for good EDM. Probably not the best person to ask. But
do you know any? Do you listen to any rap that's gonna be there? We haven't talked about Megan Thee Stallion or Key Glock or anything.
Joey Badass. I like Joey Badass.
Nice.
I first heard of him when he was on Mr. Robot, because he's also kind of like a semi actor.
The show
Mr. Robot.
I really liked the first season. I just never kept watching.
Dude, what? Dude, that's okay. That is one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Hell yeah. That's the guy that played Freddie Mercury, right?
Yeah, Rami Malek.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is really good in that. Christian Slater's really good. I mean, they're the leads in the whole show, but the show as a whole is what makes it.
Yeah.
And the showrunner, writer, director, Sam Esmail, he's the one who makes that show so good. Mm-hmm. He had a vision and he executed it. It's four seasons for a very specific reason, and you should watch the rest of it. It's on something. I promise you can find it somewhere.
I have access to all of them, so.
And second season, a little bit of a drag.
Maybe that's why
That's probably why I feel like a lot of people stopped after the second season, because the first season was kind of like, it had that Fight Club twist to it. But that's only the start. Mm-hmm. Season three is fucking great. And then season four, to close it out, is the best season of television in the history of television.
Wow, and that's big props over there.
So I compare that to anything Game of Thrones put out. I compare that to anything Lost put out. I put that to anything Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul put out.
What about House of the Dragon?
House of the Dragon season one is just one season.
Which also, to try to correlate this back to Bonnaroo, House of the Dragon premieres on that Sunday.
No way.
And there are some secret watch parties that are going to be going on in the campgrounds.
Honestly, House of the Dragon is going to be fucking great. I watch a channel called Alt Shift X. If you haven't watched that, it's
a channel.
It's a YouTube channel.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
YouTube channel.
I don't watch any YouTube channel.
He does a very educated breakdowns, and I even like listen to his like 2-hour Q&As after an episode where people are just like asking things, and he's just like giving details about the books and all that. And it's one of those. It's a great interpretation or adaptation of another media, because they're the way how the Dance of Dragons, I think, is what the book is called.
Yep.
And the way how that's written, it's written like a history book and someone's reading it to you.
You're not talking about the Game of Thrones books. Like Dance of Dragons was in the
You're
talking about Fire and Blood or something.
Fire and Blood. Yeah. Fire and Blood. Okay. And the war is called the Dance of Dragons, but Fire and Blood is written as a history text. It's written as someone reading a history text to you.
Yeah.
And this person is just reading what was written by the victors. So there's a lot of room for interpretation or adaptation to just have creative freedom. And it's like, that is so perfect. And then you can see what, this guy's analysis, like what was actually written in there. And it's like, oh, well, actually this could have been done like that. And spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't watched the first season of House of the Dragon, the ending where
the dragon
Rhaenyra's son gets chomped to hell by like the massive dragon.
Yeah.
From it's hard to remember everyone's names. Yeah, I mean, it's only one season.
And it's also like, these shows aren't like how they used to be.
But that was not everyone watching specifically written in the book.
Okay.
Where, because the way how it was written, it seemed like that it was an intentional attack. But the way how the show portrayed it, it was like, oh shit, I lost ability to control my massive fire breathing lizard that flies.
Right.
And he just fucking did what he wanted to do because he was just a little irritated. And it's just like the show is able to capitalize and emphasize things more than like the book can. So that's what I like when shows can get like really creative with their adaptations.
Like I've been getting a little tired of everything being a prequel now after like something successful happens, but I mean, it's been kind of working. Like Better Call Saul, I thought was better than Breaking Bad. You know,
I would never say better. It was on par.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's debatable.
So it comes down to personal opinion at that point, you know, where it's not like, you know, like we have House of Dragon being a prequel. You know, Stranger Things is about to come out with this final season next year.
Oh my god!
You don't think they're gonna make a prequel series after that? They probably will.
Probably will. They'll do a 1960s bullshit. I mean, they kind of already explained the creation of the whole Upside Down. What are they gonna do before the Upside Down?
I don't know. The downside of
they're gonna like the dude who is like the father figure to all those test subjects like 11.
It's just gonna be a buddy comedy with Hopper's parents.
Stranger Things, I definitely liked like the most recent season, and I look forward to the next.
I've loved the most recent season, and I know that it's taken a long time to come out, but because it's been like 2 years now, right? Yeah, I didn't watch it when I was in Denver.
Yeah, no Stranger Things last summer. I don't think so. Maybe there was, and it was just like...
No, there wasn't.
No.
The new Boys season's coming out.
Oh, yeah, the trailer dropped for
they
that.
They already made a prequel to that.
And they did.
It's still coming
out. That was just to tie people over in between seasons and all that.
You know, there's, it's just like... I don't know.
Okay. do we got a drop coming up here?
This is the end.
Okay. Politics.
Politics. All right, so it's Trump versus Biden again. Trump's in... court right now, keeps getting gag ordered by the judge, keeps starting to put him in jail. Probably won't happen because I don't know what will happen.
Yeah.
You know, Israel and Gaza are fighting.
Ukraine's still a country. It hasn't been taken over yet.
Things are fucking about this. Just have a lot of fun these next couple months, guys, because shit's about to start getting real annoying again.
Yeah. Everything's depressing, so that's why we saved the worst for last.
That's why we're gonna figure out a way to not talk about politics on this podcast anymore. We're gonna just change the last category, probably.
Yeah, we'll just probably do holdups.
Yeah, I'll make my guests come up with something they want to talk about. If they want to talk about politics, they can. But God, my mind went crazy. That's why I moved to Denver, because my mind went crazy.
Controversial hot take. What's yours?
That nuclear bombs should be owned by every country. and then no one would be fucked with.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Cats are cuter than dogs.
Not that controversial, but we'll take it, Jordan. Thank you so
objectively
much.
Cuter.
Thank you, everybody, for splitting six with us. Jordan, thank you for coming back on and helping me revitalize this bitch. Where can people find you, follow you? Is there anything you want to promote?
My last post on social media of all platforms was probably over a year ago. So, I mean, I'm on Instagram if you want to stalk me and request a follow.
Or a sexy photo.
Just search. You can hit me up on Messenger or Snapchat. I message people directly. I'm more of a intimate type guy.
And your handle is?
Jorvid something. I don't know.
All right. Well, guys, thank you for switching this with us again. And remember, it's more important to listen to somebody else than it is for them to listen to you. We'll hopefully be back next week, probably with the guest of Jeff, if we can't find anybody.
Right. Consolation prize, Jeff.
All right. Love you guys. We'll talk to you soon.